Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
An Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. The biggest names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
This is Bob Costas, not Kostos, but you are listening to Nick Kostos on You Better You Bet.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT, and I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, brought to you by BetMGM.
The magnificent Sports Monday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, our crew, and you here on Westwood One Sports. Man, how about the first hour of the show today? All on the NBA offseason. We haven't even touched the NBA draft yet. Round one of the NBA draft tomorrow night. And I believe this is going to be a transformative NBA draft. And because of everything else that's gone on in sports recently, and there's been a lot, right? And I'm guilty of this too. My favorite basketball team just won the championship. The Knicks won the title. The World Cup's in full swing. I think we all, myself included, up until right now, have lost track a little bit and lost the plot a little bit as it concerns this year's NBA draft. With these top four players in this draft, with AJ DeBonsa and Darren Peterson, and Cam Boozer, and Caleb Wilson, all feeling like, as long as Peterson can keep his head on straight, absolute dynamite prospects, can't miss prospects. And the two teams picking at the top of the draft, the Washington Wizards, who presumably the betting favorite is AJ DeBonsa. We'll see if that's who they take. But you put AJ DeBonsa on that team with the players they already have there, with Trae Young and Anthony Davis, and Sarr, and Trey Johnson, and others. Why can't that be a top 10 seed in the East next year and actually make the playoffs or at least the play-in? It's pretty exciting if you're a Wizards fan. And the Utah Jazz were finally ready to try and start, you know, winning games this year with Lauri Markkanen and Jaren Jackson and Ace Bailey and George and others, and we'll see if they keep Kessler. And then here's Darren Peterson or Cam Boozer added to the mix. It could be a playoff team next year. This could be, and I believe will be, a transformative NBA draft. Cannot wait for it tomorrow night. And we led the show with the report from Shyam Charania of ESPN that prior to round one of the NBA draft tomorrow night, Giannis Antetokounmpo expected to be traded by the Milwaukee Bucks, with the Celtics and the Heat emerging as the two main suitors, and that this is looking like, not definitely, but looking like, it will be just a two-team deal. If that's what it's going to be, I think it's Boston that will eventually get Giannis. I think Jaylen Brown and more goes to Milwaukee. And if and when that happens, I think we will know now what next year's conference finals will be in the NBA. Thunder and the Spurs in the West, and the Knicks and the Celtics in the East. Joining us right now to talk all things NBA, he's as plugged in as it gets, as knowledgeable as it gets, and I can't wait to pick his brain on all of this. It's our friend Matt Moore from the Action Network, Locked On NBA and Buckets, and his Substack you can find at his Twitter, at HP Basketball. Matt, happy draft week. How's it going, my friend?
It's going well, man. Excited for what's going to be, I think, a really fascinating week between all the trades hanging in the air, not only for Giannis, but inside the draft and all the picks that we don't know about. It's going to be a really interesting week.
Let's before we get to the draft, and I want to hit a lot with you here because there's so much going on. We have to start with Giannis. What are you hearing about a potential Giannis Antetokounmpo trade? And again, the Shams report, the expectation is he will be dealt before round one of the NBA draft tomorrow night.
Yeah, so on Saturday, there was significant movement because Detroit was added as a third team in the Miami construct with Tyler Hero going to Detroit. That was a significant barrier that Miami got past, because if you're able to be to not send Tyler Hero to Milwaukee and add more assets, that makes the deal a lot more attractive for Milwaukee. Tyler's a good player. He's got a lot of good years left on him, but ultimately it is not the type of asset that the Bucks are looking for. They would rather have what they can get for Hero, which is more picks and players coming back. Some other teams were also involved in the construct, including the Lakers and the Grizzlies. That deal got enough momentum that Miami got pretty excited about the idea of maybe we're actually going to get this done. But then Milwaukee does what it does, which is like, okay, great, we'll call you back. And then they went and they talked to Boston. And the other teams said, hey.
Which they should do, right? Like they're actually doing the right thing there, right? And we criticize them all the time, but that's what Milwaukee should be doing.
Right. So they use that as, okay, this is now the bar. You have to clear this. This is what you have to be able to beat. And went back to the other teams, and now the other teams are working on to try and get those in. We don't know what the deadline is. Like, there's no idea like what the deadline is on this deal. It does sound like I would lean a little bit towards Miami as far as like who's in, like that's just the lead, but very likely to get the deal done, just because it doesn't sound like I had heard that Boston had made progress on a third team to send Jaylen Brown to and get the assets back to Milwaukee. But I'm not sure where those talks are now. So I'm not sure if they have a third team to send Jaylen Brown to get the necessary assets back to Milwaukee. Miami has a construct in place. So as of right now, I think I would probably put it at 60% Miami. I don't think that they're going to sit there and get to the draft without trading him. I think they'd want to have a pick in the top in the lottery coming out of this draft. I think that's important for them as a priority. So I expect Giannis to be traded before tomorrow night. I still think that Miami is in the lead, but you know, Minnesota or Boston can come through. If they can find a third team to get the necessary assets back to Milwaukee, they can still get this deal done.
Why did, in your, like, Sham said that it's expected to be a two-team deal. Is that your expectation here, that this is almost certainly going to be a two-team deal and not have a third team involved to facilitate things?
I would be surprised. If that's the case, then it sounds like that probably, from, you know, because Shams is Shams. I would say that what probably happened is that deal, those other deals I just mentioned may have fallen apart, right? If that's fallen apart, then it goes back to Miami. It's just a two-team deal. That's the simplest one. If it's Miami, it's a two-team deal. I have a really hard time with the idea of Milwaukee taking on Jaylen Brown, who has won a championship and in his prime and wants to continue to compete for championships, you know, trying to build around him and Jaylen being happy in that situation. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't work at all for Milwaukee.
Why do you think that doesn't make sense? I think that's interesting. Why do you think that doesn't make sense?
Because the Bucks are not going to be ready to compete right now. Like they're so far away in terms of where the roster is, their salary cap sheet, all of the things that are on the table for them. If it's a two-team deal and it's just like we're just gonna add Jaylen and move Giannis. Well, okay, with Giannis last year, and he missed a lot of games, but with Giannis, this team was very far away from being a contender. You add Jaylen Brown, who is a good player, but not Giannis. There's no way for them to be able to say that they were actually a contender, even like a playoff team, I think is like, you know, I think a stretch of the imagination there, as good as I think Jaylen Brown is. Is Jaylen Brown the best player that has been mentioned? Yes. From that perspective, there's value there. But from a Milwaukee perspective, it just swaps out one problem for another, which is that likely you still have to move Jaylen Brown again to try and get the rebuilding assets that you need. Miami's at least offering the necessary amount of picks and young players. Now, Boston's got picks that they can throw into this deal too. So maybe that's the idea here. To me, this has always made more sense as a multi-team deal. That has always made more sense. But if they can't, multi-team deals are harder to get done because you have to get agreement from everybody and everybody's got to stay in agreement. They can't waver or shift or fall apart. So that's why Miami as a two-team deal makes more sense. But if it's a two-team deal, Milwaukee's going to walk away with a pretty bad offer.
I was going to, like, the Miami Heat offer is, and look, you know how much I respect you. We have you on the show because you're the expert, right?
Yep.
The proposed trade is terrible for Giannis, yeah. Right, from Miami. Like the, and yeah. The way, Matt, I said at the start of the show, this is like the guy in your fantasy football league. You've got Bijan Robinson, and he's offering you Jaden Reed and Tyrone Tracy for Bijan Robinson. Like there's one of these in every fantasy football league, and now, like, Pat Riley's the guy? Like, am I missing something here, or is this a brutal offer for Giannis from Miami?
Oh, it's brutal. It's terrible. You know, and this is like what happens when you look, first off, you're never going to get even close to good return. You're not even gonna, if you get 80% for your star, you've done really well. Like the Pelicans got Josh Hart and Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and multiple picks for Anthony Davis. That's close, right? Now they didn't do anything with any of those, but at least the value side, that was a pretty good return. Typically speaking, though, you're not going to get anywhere close to what the value is as a player if you're trading a superstar. However, I think the worst part with the Miami deal is that even the young guys, like, you're just not going to be excited about, ooh, we got Jaime Jaquez, sixth man of the year, runner-up. Great. Awesome. Khalil Ware, hey, a guy that Spo doesn't trust. That's who our signature piece of this draft is. The 13th pick in the draft. It's a terrible offer. But again, this kind of gets into Jaylen Brown for Giannis is closer to approximate value, but it just creates another problem for Milwaukee, which is trying to figure out how do you build around Jaylen Brown, or how do you move Jaylen Brown for the kind of assets that you need? Like, they have to recoup their draft capital that Portland owns, by the way, and Portland's known to have interest in Jaylen Brown. They have to get a young stud that they can really kind of build around. They have to redirect the entire franchise. There's so much work that Milwaukee's going to have to do after this trade, and none of the teams are in position to offer them the ability to do that.
Let's talk about Jaylen Brown for a second, and just let's assume that it happens in some way, shape, or form. Jaylen Brown to Milwaukee for, and other stuff is involved, but let's just say that's the trade that happens. Jaylen Brown, Matt, and I want you to, if you agree or disagree with this assessment, I look at Jaylen Brown as being the Michael Jordan of Jeremy Grant's. Like, I feel like Jaylen Brown would like nothing more than to go to Milwaukee and be the guy, capital T, capital G. And yes, he'd be leaving Boston to go to a team that, like, can't contend the way the Celtics can. Hasn't Jaylen Brown pretty much made it clear to everybody that his interest is being the guy more than it necessarily is with winning a championship? Am I missing something here? Or wouldn't Jaylen Brown enjoy this?
I don't think it's an either or for him, though, because it's not an either or for superstars in this day and age. They don't want, like, well, I'm willing to give up chasing a championship for my own team. It's I want my own team and I want to win a championship. They want all of it, right? And some of the teams that have been mentioned are teams that are closer to playoff contention, right? It's Portland and Atlanta, the two teams that have been most mentioned as Jaylen Brown suitors. I think there's a possibility there being other teams. But those are two teams that I think that fit the mold of what Brown's looking for. A team that's young, that's playoff capable, that Brown could take to another level. That makes the most sense as a place for him to go to.
Matt Moore is with us on the show, stud NBA writer, columnist, podcaster, Action Network, Buckets, Locked On NBA, Substack on his Twitter profile, at HP Basketball. Now, Matt, I'm going to phrase this question this way. Is Shams wrong? It's that, do you expect something different from what, because I'm sure Shams is reporting what he's got right now when he says it's going to be a two-team deal. So when it's all said and done, and Giannis is dealt presumably before round one of the NBA draft tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern, and this deal gets done, is it a two-team deal, or do you think it's a three-team deal? And what's your best guess as to what, like, the final, like, the teams are in this trade for Giannis?
So, look, I mean, I think if Shams reported that this morning, then he's got, I trust Shams because Shams is Shams, right? My best intuition based off of not only what I've heard, but the logic involved is that it's a multi-team deal. Minnesota had made calls about Rudy Gobert and Julius Randle to try and find a third team to take those assets for Milwaukee. They had talked to in that construct. Boston My understanding is that had talked to Portland about Jaylen Brown going to Portland, and then the pick assets that Portland owns of Milwaukee going back to Milwaukee. There's been so much talk of these three-team deals, it just makes a lot more sense. And the movement on Saturday was significantly towards that multi-team deal construct. And that, you know, everyone had heard about that construct of Tyler Hero to Detroit, and then other people getting involved to take on more more players, to send more draft picks back to Milwaukee. I still kind of expect it to be a three-team deal. If it doesn't, it likely means that Milwaukee has kind of given up the ghost and is like, all right, this is too complicated. We can't get it done. We're out of time. All right, Miami, we'll take the whole package. We'll take the whole thing, Tyler Hero included. I would tell you that if it's a three-team deal, I think it's Miami. Or if it's a two-team deal, it's Miami. If it's a three-team deal, it could be Miami or Boston, I think is the best way to put it right now.
Give me the pie chart of the percentages that you would assign to the most likely teams that they get this done when it's all said and done.
Okay. He stays in Milwaukee at zero. I would put Miami north of 50%. So I would put him at probably 60%, Boston 30%, Minnesota 5%, and then the rest fits into that 5% category.
If Giannis goes to Miami, and presumably they're trading the entire team except for Bam Adebayo, how in the world is that team competing for a championship this season?
That's a lot of I don't think it is, and that's one of the reasons I think the negotiations have been tough, because I think Miami really wants to hold back stuff to try and compete with, or at least to be able to trade again. And Milwaukee's like, that's your problem, not ours, which is what they should do. It's Davion Mitchell, Norman Powell, Andrew Wiggins, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Bam Adebayo. And I'm like, the question I asked last night on a podcast was, all right, is Davion Mitchell, Norman Powell, Wiggins, Giannis, Bam? It's better than Toronto, who is a 5 seed this year. How much better? How much better is that team than the 5 seed Raptors next year? And that's like, that I think is like how you kind of put it. I still think they're pretty far away. I just don't think that they're in a position to contend, but I'm sure the weather will be very nice.
If it's Giannis to Boston, if that's the trade in some way, shape, or form, the Boston Celtics will finish where next year in the Eastern Conference?
I'll say second. I'll say they'll be in second again, which is exactly where they were right now. I think you lose continuity.
Oh, by the way, my friend, we have some gigantic breaking news in the NBA. Gigantic. So are you sitting down? This is not Giannis related. This comes courtesy of Adam Schefter, Sham Sharania, and Pete Thamel. Dusty May, who just won the national championship at the University of Michigan, is going to be the next head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. So Dusty May will be replacing Jason Kidd as the next coach of the Mavericks to coach Cooper Flagg in this Mavericks rebuild. Matt, your unvarnished thoughts upon hearing this again. Dusty May will be the next head coach of the Dallas Mavericks per a cavalcade of notable insiders and reporters.
That's a fascinating hire. It makes sense for how the Dallas Mavericks have conducted this kind of search and who they've looked at and how they've kind of done things historically. It makes a lot of sense that they wound up going that direction. I had heard Mike Anori was close on that deal and was ultimately told they were going to go in a different direction. I would not be surprised if Anori winds up with the Blazers. May, I think, obviously, look, has a championship caliber coach. Makes a lot of sense for him to be able to get this opportunity following kind of the blueprint of Billy Donovan winning championships and then going to the NBA. Young guy, still has a lot of opportunity in front of him. Pretty phenomenal, I think, fit as far as you want a young coach who's got the ability to, at 49, he's still got the ability to grow Cooper Flagg with college experience. I think it's a pretty good fit there.
This guy's glow up. Just like imagine a couple years ago in the 8-9 game, if FAU loses to Penny Hardaway in Memphis, how this goes for Dusty May. Instead, they win that, go to the Final Four, goes to Michigan, wins a national championship. Now he's the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. That's unbelievable. Now, I'm thinking about this in the moment. The Mavericks have the 9th pick in the draft tomorrow night. Does this, Matt, and I, we're spitballing in the moment right now. Like, are they just going to take Adame Ara or Yaxel Landeborg now? Like, one of the Michigan players? Am I overthinking this here at ninth overall tomorrow night?
Yeah, because the work's already been done from the GM side on who they're gonna draft. That's not going to be probably. Maybe we'll have like input on it, but I don't think that it's going to be like, hey, Dusty, which of your college players do you want? Now, I think Mara's on the board there and it could be a fit, but I do think that they've talked a lot about moving back. Is the interesting part there. So this news coming in tandem with what we heard about them potentially moving back, I think is very interesting. If they do move back and they think that they can get Mara or Lindenborg later, that would make a lot of sense. Now, I don't know how much further back you can get those guys, but there's been a lot of talk about them moving back with OKC and Memphis and moving a player to clear up their cap sheet as well in doing that kind of deal. So this, I think, adds another layer of intrigue on top of that.
Can I hit you with, we're like 20 minutes in already, but like we've got this breaking news. Can I hit you with a couple more here? You have a couple more minutes for us? I got a couple more things to hit you with, if so.
Yeah, I got that, man.
Best guess, and again, we just gave you the news. Dusty May is going to be the next head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. I'll give you my opinion on that coming up in the next segment. But Dusty May will be the next head coach of the Dallas Mavericks leaving Michigan. What is your best guess right now, Matt, or something that you may have heard about the future of LeBron James as it concerns the Lakers or other teams this summer? We know LeBron on a European excursion right now with members of the 2016 Cavs.
Yeah, I'm pretty, there's been a lot of confidence that he's going to re-sign with the Lakers, which I'm a little skeptical of given what the Lakers need to accomplish this summer. If they just bring back LeBron and unless he takes a minimum, which would just be the ultimate, like, okay, I'm just glad to live in LA. Doesn't care about the money, doesn't care about the respect of getting a better contract, just like, I really do just want to stay in L.A. Maybe that happens. There's a lot of talk continuing about him going to the Warriors. The Warriors are very serious about LeBron. They are very serious about him being kind of the missing component and doing this, you know, old dogs thing up there with Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry and Draymond and him. Trying to get that deal done, I think, would be difficult from a financial perspective, but I would not be surprised if they attempt to get that deal done. I think that I think the Warriors are very serious about trying to get LeBron James added to that team. If you ask me where I think he's going to end up at this point, I thought it was going to be Cleveland. I was just like, this makes the most sense. This is like the story. This is where it happens. All of these types of things. But the more that everything kind of sounds like, no one's expecting him to go to Cleveland. It sounds like he's going to be in California. He's either going to be with the Lakers or the Warriors, but I honestly don't think that LeBron has really sat down and decided what he wants to do yet. I think he is in family mode. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish, please.
I think he's given, I think for him, a lot of this is that he gives so much of his time to the season, and this is when he can actually be with his family. So, like, this is like, I am here, I am present, I'll make that decision when it's time to make that decision.
Just your opinion, as I consider you to be a brilliant basketball mind, just your opinion, like no one else's opinion, not LeBron's opinion, your opinion. Doesn't it make much more sense for LeBron to go to Golden State than it does to re-sign with the Lakers? And shouldn't the Lakers like be okay with letting him walk if the whole plan is to build something around Luka and Luka could opt out in 2 years? Shouldn't you want to take that money for LeBron and spend it on someone that can help you win 2-3 years from now to make sure Luka comes back and LeBron can go to Golden State and team up with Curry and Jimmy? Like, what am I missing here? Isn't that the obvious outcome? Or maybe you think I'm missing something.
No, I think it's an obvious outcome. I think that, you know, I personally can't believe that he's really going to end his career potentially with the Golden State Warriors, who was maybe his biggest career rival. You know, it's either them or the Celtics. Like, the idea of finishing with the guy that he battled for so many years, there's some level of symmetry to it, but I'm also like, really? Like, that's how you're going to go out? At the same time, him staying with the Lakers is just, he's comfortable in LA. That's it. He's got business interests there. He has so much work that he does off the court in terms of production and everything else in LA, and his family loves living there. Like, that's all it's about. There's no real reason for him to stay with the Lakers.
Do you think he'll take less money? Is he going to take less money?
I think he has to. He's making $52 million this year. There's no way you can pay $52 million for a 42-year-old LeBron. You can't do it. So, like, he's taking less money. I there's no scenario in which he doesn't do that. There's just not room. The Lakers can't build the type of team that they want to, and that's why they've continuously said, we'd love to have LeBron James back, is what they've continuously said. And what they don't say there, the parenthetical there, the unspoken part is, as long as he takes a pay cut so we can actually build the team that we need. They're working on trades for a center. They're working on trying to add 3-and-D wings. They have to handle the Austin Reeves situation. Like, there's a lot of stuff that the Lakers have to do to try and get in position to actually build a contender around Luka. And LeBron, honestly, just isn't really part of that. He's still very good. He's just not part of building a contender around Luka Doncic.
A couple more, and Matt, you've been very generous with your time. Our friend Matt Moore from the Action Network. If you had to construct, I would like for you to do two things for us, if you'd be so kind. Number one, that includes LeBron James. So LeBron comes back to the Lakers. Construct the A-plus Grand Slam home run Lakers offseason. So what can they, like, things that are feasible that could happen. And then, if it does happen, can that team beat either Oklahoma City or San Antonio next year in the playoffs?
Yeah, see, I don't see that happening because I'm skeptical of Austin Reeves and Luka together. Like, if you told me to build a hypothetical, it would be that they trade Luka Doncic, or they're not Luka Doncic, they trade Austin Reeves, sorry. They trade Austin Reeves for a major significant wing, like a major great defender, someone of that kind of caliber.
Can you give me a name? Just like someone, just for context, doesn't have to be like the exact guy, but some, just like, just for the listeners and viewers to be like, this is the kind of person Matt's thinking about.
Yeah, I'll shout out like Paul George, but it's going to be somebody younger than Paul George. So that's the kind of idea. Like, you move out Austin Reeves or a Paul George type. You've got Luka, a good wing on the perimeter. You trade for Isaiah Stewart or Khalil Ware, and you add them as a rim runner in pick and roll. With Luka, Isaiah's not as much of a rim runner.
This team's not beating Oklahoma City or San Antonio,
no.
Right? Khalil Ware, why it makes no sense for LeBron to go back. It makes no sense for the Lakers.
There's no construct where the Lakers are going to jump ahead of OKC and San Antonio. You're trying to basically hope that those two teams are worse next year, and you're able to get within range, and then Luka gets you past it. That's the goal. But they are going to try and build a rim runner with wings on the perimeter. I know. So, like, here's a good example of what you're talking about. One of the names I've heard that's like very high on their target list is Tari Eason. Like, if you get Tari Eason, are you like, oh man, got it? Like, now we can beat San Antonio and OKC. Tari Eason's a good player. Can you beat anybody serious with Tari Eason? Does that put you above those guys? I think Tari's really great. I think he gets you closer, but he doesn't get you over the hill there. There's no scenario where the Lakers are favored in the Western Conference or second favorite in the Western Conference next year.
Our friend Jeff Goodman from the Field of 68, he'll be on the show tomorrow, tweeted out moments ago that John Shire, that there was mutual interest with Shire and the Dallas Mavericks. Shire opts to stay at Duke, and the Mavericks turn their attention and hire Dusty May. So it could have been Shire coaching Cooper Flagg like he did at Duke, but instead it'll be Dusty May as the next head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Matt, final one for you here, and I love you, and I really appreciate it. We're 27 minutes in. Thank you very much. We haven't gotten to the draft yet because there's been all this other stuff going on that's been important. If I ask you right now, your best guess, picks 1 through 4 tomorrow night, the Wizards at 1, Jazz at 2, Grizz at 3, Bulls at 4. What is your best guess as to what the order of players will be tomorrow night at the top of the draft?
AJ DeBonta to the Wizards, Cameron Boozer to the Jazz, Darren Peterson to the Grizzlies, and Caleb Wilson to the Chicago Bulls. I think that's the most likely outcome of tomorrow's draft. There is a high level of confidence. There's extremely high level of confidence Caleb Wilson goes 4. That top 3, though, Jazz have said consistently from people I've talked to that they do not know, like, they have not made a decision. As of, like, last night, they've not made a decision on who they're going to draft. So
that's not true, right? With Danny Ainge in charge, Danny knows who he's taking, right?
I think Danny has a very strong feeling, but they're more of a collaborative group now. And I think that is very, very close. And I think they don't know what the Wizards are going to do either. And the Wizards, I will say to their credit, the Wizards and the Jazz and the Grizzlies have all been very closed off organizations. They don't telegraph. They just don't let stuff out. Like, they have not, like, shared what they're going to do. Peterson has made it clear that he wants to go 1, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the Wizards are going to take him 1. So I still think it's going to be AJ, I think then Boozer 2 to Utah, and then Peterson falls 3rd to Memphis.
This is actually the final question. If Cam Boozer goes ahead of either Darren Peterson or AJ DeBonta, Matt Moore will say what about that decision in the aftermath?
If Boozer goes ahead of DeBatha?
Or Peterson. So let's say, like what the scenario you just laid out, DeBatha goes one, Boozer goes two, Boozer goes ahead of Peterson or DeBatha. Your reaction will be what?
Right move. I think Cameron Boozer is the number one pick in this draft. I think he is by far the best player. I think he makes the most impact. He is going to win you games. Cameron Boozer is going to win you games. Darren Peterson is going to get you highlights. Now, I think Peterson could be a great guard, could be absolutely phenomenal. Like, his upside is incredible. But there are so many questions. He averaged 1.5 assists as a guard. The history of Kansas wings, not good. So to me, Cameron Boozer should absolutely be ahead of Darren Peterson, and I think he should be ahead of A.J. DeBatha. If you ask me for my board, it would be number one, Cameron Boozer, number two, A.J. DeBatha, number three, Caleb Wilson, number four, Darren Peterson.
Do you have to go, or can I ask you one more question? You can go if
I'm
you
here.
Need to. No problem.
I'm here, buddy. I'm here, buddy.
Okay. So I think Cam Boozer is awesome also. I think there are people that look at Cameron Boozer, right, and maybe see right, wrong, or indifferent, and I believe it's wrong. Jabari Parker, Jahlil Okafor. Like, let's say, like a bigger power forward who's not quite a center. Is his game going to translate to the NBA level? If I asked you right now to give me a pro comparison for Boozer, and this does not mean Matt Moore is guaranteeing Boozer will be this guy, because I think a lot of people have the wrong impression of Cam Boozer in their heads. Who is a player right now in the NBA that you think Cam Boozer's game could mirror that can make people go, oh, I see it now, why teams love Boozer and why Matt Moore thinks Cam Boozer could be the best player in the draft?
This is offense only. Okay, defensively, it's a lot tougher with Boozer.
However you want to answer the question.
Yeah. I'm just setting it up. This is offense only because the other player was much better defensively. Way better defensively. And there's a lot of questions about Boozer's defense. I think he is wing Al Horford. That is what I think he can do. Al Horford came into this league and made the playoffs every single year. Every single year, except one season in his entire career, he missed the playoffs. He did everything. He was a good passer. He was a good rebounder. He was a good connector. He was a good scorer. He learned to shoot from range. He learned to be a three-point shooter. He has mid-range. All of these things. That's what I see with Boozer, is that he is the ultimate connector. He fits and makes better whatever it is that you have. He will help you in whatever area you need. And those players are very easy to build around. And to me, like, that's the best comp here, is that he is, if you took Al Horford and you moved him to the wing, that to me is like the biggest differential here.
Would you, just betting question to wrap, Cam Boozer is plus 2,200 at BetMGM to go first, plus 200 to go second. Either of those wagers wet your whistle for tomorrow night?
I think the number two pick is worth betting. I just think the Darren Peterson, I think a lot of that is coming out of the idea of his pre-draft stock, which is often very powerful, his pre-draft stock, his pre-combine stock, rather, pre-lottery stock, and then based off of just like how much his camp is talking. Boozer camp has talked a lot less, but there's so many connections with him to Utah. To me, it makes sense to bet on the idea. I don't think it's that Peterson is so much ahead of Boozer to not make that. That should be at least even minus 110, minus 110 both ways on number two pick Cameron Boozer. Can't go number one. I think he should, but I don't think that's where the Wizards are looking. I think it's either AJ or Peterson with Boozer going second.
You're such a stud, dude. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for the time.
Anytime, man. Take care.
My friend Matt Moore joining the show at HP Basketball on Twitter. You can check out his Substack there. Action Network, Buckets Podcast, Locked On NBA. The guy is absolutely the best. Okay, we desperately need to take a break to get back on track here in terms of commercials. But man, like, think about what we just had there. Matt telling you Cam Boozer is the best player in the draft. Wow. Is Cam Boozer going to go ahead of Darren Peterson tomorrow night? We know Cam's dad, Carlos Boozer, works for the Utah Jazz, played in Utah. Is Cam Boozer going to go second? Could he go first? And Dusty May, leaving Michigan after winning the national championship, he will be the next head coach for Cooper Flagg of the Dallas Mavericks. Got to give you more reaction on Dusty May on the other side going to Dallas, and we will get to the World Cup in the United States as well here on a Monday on You Better You Bet.
It's an all-deciding Game 3 of the Men's College World Series. UNC, Oklahoma. Who will win the championship in Omaha? Listen to the game live on the Westwood One Sports app. Coverage begins today at 6:45 Eastern. Westwood One Sports.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there, providing hot meals, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Made the comment that I was flattered about a certain job opening because of my background, and that was misconstrued, and so I just decided I'm never going to comment on any job that I don't have. I think it's well documented how happy I am at Michigan.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
So Dusty May, that's the voice of Dusty May talking about, you know, people interested in him. Had a pretty good year, won the national championship in Michigan. This segment on You Better You Bet, sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at ProgressiveCommercial.com. ProgressiveCommercial.com. I mean, the glow up is through the roof. And this is one of the great sliding doors moments in sports now, right? So a couple years ago, 8-9 game in the NCAA tournament. It was a great 8-9 game. With Memphis and Florida Atlantic. Dusty May is coaching FAU. No one knows who he is. You're a big college basketball fan, you do, but the vast majority of sports fans have no idea who Dusty May is. So, Dusty, if I had asked you before the game, so before FAU and Memphis in the first round a couple years ago, if I had asked you, hey, think about this, which of these two head coaches do you think has a better chance of coaching an NBA team in 2 or 3 years? Penny Hardaway or Dusty May? Your response would have been, who the hell is Dusty May? Of course it's Penny Hardaway. Shout out to Kendrick Davis. FAU wins that game. And if you remember, the 116 matchup that year was Fairleigh Dickinson, was FDU knocking out Purdue. So then FAU gets past FDU, and FAU goes on the magical run to the Final Four, and Dusty May's name goes on the map, and then he gets hired by Michigan, wins the national championship in year two at Ann Arbor with the best team, one of the best teams money can buy. God bless him. They bulldoze their way to a national championship and played terribly in the national title game against UConn, and UConn blew that game. I said that the day after. I still believe that. Credit to Michigan for winning the national championship. And Dusty May has now parlayed that into being the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. If FAU loses that game to Memphis, that 8-9 game a couple years ago in the first round. Do you think there's any chance in hell Dusty May is the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks? That's incredible. Incredible. Unbelievable. Will Dusty May succeed as the coach of the Dallas Mavericks? I have no idea. No idea. But do I think it's a worthy swing of the bat, roll of the dice from new GM Masai Ujiri and the Mavericks? Absolutely. Of course. I really like it. I like it on paper. I don't know if it'll work. Also, you know, how good are the Mavericks going to be next season? We'll see what they do. Matt Moore was just on with us for a half an hour. Appreciate Matt's time. Maybe they'll try and trade back, acquire more assets. But, I mean, they have one of the best young players in the league in Cooper Flagg. Now, again, I'm not going to say Dallas is going to be great next year, especially in a brutal Western Conference. But you see the vision for the Mavericks hiring Dusty May. And congratulations to him. 4 years ago, FAU went 19-15. Final Four, Michigan, national champion, NBA. The glow up of all glow ups for Dusty May. On the other side, why a semifinal appearance in the World Cup by the United States should not surprise anyone here on Westwood One Sports.
The U.S. men's national team is 2-0 for the first time since 1930. After an historic start, is it too early to dream of America celebrating its 250th birthday with a World Cup trophy? Westwood One Sports.
And Doug.
There's nowhere I wouldn't go to help someone customize and save on car insurance with Liberty Mutual, even if it means sitting front row at a comedy show.
Hey, everyone, check out this guy and his bird. What is this, your first date?
Oh, no. We help people customize and save on car insurance with Liberty Mutual together. We're married.
Ah!
Me to a human, him to a bird.
Yeah, the bird looks out of your league anyways.
Get a quote at libertymutual.com or with your local agent.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Andy Ortiz. When I lost my mom, she was only 46, and I lost my dad to cancer. It was the worst pain I ever felt. It made me think, what will happen with the people I love when my time is up? That's why I have life insurance. Ethos makes it easy. You sort online, take about 10 minutes, and you can get up to $3 million in coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game. Paid testimonial. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Robinson fizzing it back. Serginho Dest blocked. Still in. Might be two. Is two. Or maybe not. The flag comes up for offside.
After factual review, the goal scorer was not in offside position.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
It's time for the world's top stars to go head-to-head on the pitch. Grab today's Odds Boost token, join the excitement, and make your World's Game moment. Activate your token for any World's Game bet, and you'll receive a bigger payout if your bet wins. Download the BetMGM app today, and please gamble responsibly. Fox Sports, courtesy of the call, John Strong on Friday, as the United States beat Australia 2-0 to clinch Group D and set up what could be, and we'll see how some of the other results play out, could be a pretty advantageous path forward in the knockout stage. And for those of you in the audience that are looking for your World Cup fix, our friend Anthony DeBundo from The Ringer will join us 10 minutes from now to talk all things World Cup. But as far as the United States are concerned, and I said this on the show after the opening win against Paraguay, not that it was like an earth-shattering opinion by me, but I thought it was worth saying because it's true. This is pretty clearly the best American soccer team of my lifetime. And I know in 2002, beat Portugal 3-2 in the opener, went to the quarterfinals and lost to Oliver Kahn in Germany, who lost in the finals to Brazil, and it was a pretty close game. And that 2002 team was pretty good, no question about it. Beat Mexico in the first knockout stage game, 2-0. This team's different. And all you have to do is watch them to see it. Now, I don't think 2-0 was an incredibly fair scoreline to the Aussies. And it's worth noting that Christian Pulisic didn't play in the game, who is arguably the United States' best player. Flo Balogun's emergence has kind of brought that into question. But at the very least, Pulisic is one of the two or three most important players on the American team. Didn't play in the game. They won 2-0. I think it's fair to say we all watched the game, right? United States could have absolutely conceded to Australia. Now, maybe not enough for a 2-2 draw or to lose the game. Maybe it's just 2-1. But I think probably a bit fortunate for the United States to keep a clean sheet in the win against Australia. Now, I say that to say this, and this is not an earth-shattering opinion either. The United States is not going to win the World Cup this year. They're not going to. Because eventually they're going to run into Spain or England or France or Brazil, whomever, Argentina, and they'll lose that game. Because for as much fun as the attacking prowess is for the United States, and as much as we love Mauricio Pochettino, the Argentine coach, I don't think the defense and the goalkeeping is going to be good enough. And it's not an earth, like no one thinks they're going to win, but I just wanted to say that, right? I don't think they can win. But that doesn't mean that they can't make a run to the semis. The most likely first knockout stage game, which will be July 1st in Santa Clara, like they're locked into July 1st in Santa Clara, right now, and things can change, right, is against either Bosnia or Qatar. Could the U.S. lose that game? Of course. Do I think they would lose? No. I think they would win. And then they're in the quarters. And maybe it's Belgium in the quarters. Did anyone watch Belgium have a scoreless draw against Iran yesterday? Like this Belgian team is not evoking memories of the third place finisher in 2018, the golden generation with Eden Hazard and company. The United States could absolutely beat Belgium. I think they'd be favored in that game against the Belgians. Now, look, there are some nightmares tonight. If the United States has to play Ecuador, and I'll talk more about this with the Bundo next hour, that's not a great matchup. Not that they can't win, but Ecuador's really good and has gotten unlucky, hasn't scored yet in this tournament, but has 39 shots in two games. Like, the worm will start turning for Ecuador at some point. But the United States, the ceiling, is to make the semifinal of this World Cup, and how crazy that would be if it happened. Now, perhaps next hour on the show, maybe I'll do a little bit with DeBundo next hour. Like, think about this, right? The stage that all of this is on, not just the World Cup, but being in North America and in the United States, and the kids that are watching this. If the USA goes on a significant run here, makes it deep into this tournament, more young athletes want to play soccer. I think the United States is going to win a World Cup this century. Why not? Why not us? Final hour, power hour coming up next. All our bets for tonight. Anthony DeBundo from The Ringer starts it off talking World Cup right after this here on a Monday.
This is Westwood One Sports.
Hi, how can I help?
Well, my husband and I feel like we've outgrown our current money manager.
I see.
Our lives have changed, and we need something more than just mutual funds to help us in retirement.
She's right.
I hear that often. At Fisher Investments, we'd start by getting to know you, your finances, family, health, lifestyle. We tailor a portfolio around your goals and needs.
Sounds good.
Can you help with estate planning?
Yes. We have a team of specialists who can help you with estate planning, Social Security, investment income, and more. We'll get to know your whole financial picture and help keep you on the path to a comfortable retirement.
And your fees?
We have a simple, transparent fee that's a percentage of the value of your portfolio. So we do better when you do better.
I feel better already.
At Fisher Investments, we're clearly different. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com/different. Investing in securities involves a risk of...
6, sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN FM HD2 New York, an Odyssey sports station. Always...
Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.